Welcome back to another edition of the Los Ponies Podcast. And as always, I'm joined by my trusty co-host, Curtis the Hitman Treese. Curtis, we just were recording this immediately to the second after the Preakness has gone official. War of Will redemption in Baltimore.
Yeah, I mean, everybody was holding their breath when he almost clipped heels. Yes. In the Derby there, and everybody's giving him props for that agility he showed. And just a ground-saving trip right along the inside there, and pulled away in the end, and I think a very deserving favorite there. Did he go off favor, or was it improbable? I know a lot of people were on War of Will.
I think it was improbable that went off favorite.
Okay.
I think War of Will went off somewhere in the neighborhood of 5 or 6 to 1, maybe, okay, if I remember correctly. So War of Will there, drew the rail again.
Yes.
But got the trip and gets the job done. A big bomb for second, 50-1 on the morning line for Dale Romans. The name escapes me at the top of my head, written by Joel Rosario. He gets up for second. No matter what, how I would have played it, my pick, win, got the trip I wanted. Just not good enough, top of the stretch. No matter how I would have played it, I would have never hit anything there because of that. That 10 was an absolute throwout for me. It was just too much inconsistent form. So kudos to the horse players that cash anything in the Preakness. But yeah, second jewel of the Triple Crown in the books.
You know, I had a laugh at, there's a quote from Dwayne Lucas when they asked him about it. He's kind of a guy that gets horse racing. He gets the game. You know, I liked it. He said, what was it, 90% of the people are going to be out there for the party. The drinking, and the other 10% are the degenerates trying to pick a winner. So that was a pretty funny quote. I thought coming from the coach.
I don't mind being called a degenerate. People take offensive to that?
No. It's a term of endearment for us.
I'm a degenerate. I love betting. I love gambling on the horses. So some people took offense to him saying that, but I didn't. So Dwayne there had a big bomb as well. I think that ran didn't hit the board there in the Preakness. But yeah, that's in the books, and good to see a horse that was in that mess of a trouble in the Derby come back and kind of do redemption there in the Preakness. So kudos to Cassie and his team. And Tyler Gaffleone. Improbable. I think he got the trip. He was just not...
Seems like he got a little fractious in the gate there. I think that probably... in quarter horse racing, when you see that...
Oh, it's done.
You're done completely.
You're like 90% done.
So, and I'm sure in a big race like this, you know, it's just along... You know, if you're going to act up in the gate, you're losing a lot of your energy right there. And he sat kind of off the rail, but, you know, kind of the same thing. Just didn't have it.
So we're 3 weeks away now for the Belmont. I think the Belmont is going to be a terrific betting race. But, you know, every race is a terrific betting race if you like someone. I've been 0-2 now the last two Triple Crown races. I just couldn't be able to cash with my trifecta keys. But nonetheless, what we can and did cash, Curtis, lock of the night last week, listeners of the podcast, back to back. We talked about it. The double was easy. The mid-card double was a lock, Curtis. Quirkiness to your lock. Who was it?
Up and coming. For Odell along the rail there. And what'd you say it paid for the double?
It
paid
like
$8?
$8.50 for a dollar?
That's what we said. We said you could end one pick four, start another mid-card daily double.
You could start,
it was all right there.
You could have crushed that pick three from races 3 through 5.
Yep.
And then from 4 to 6. I mean, that was it.
Yeah, the pick three paid $55 for that. So all single. You played 20 times.
That's
there.
Yeah. Yeah,
you get $55 for that. But the big story was our longtime faithful listener, good old Lights. You know, he hit that one pick six for like $7,000.
Yes.
This time he hit the late pick four for $9,000.
Wow, $9,000.
And I was a little offended. He didn't single my lock of the night. He actually went four deep in that race.
Okay.
But we were looking at the sequence later, and remember, Doc had his big two-year-old debut
yes.
that night. We thought he was really going to be something. He singled against that horse
I seen that.
Along the rail with Matt Fail. So I had to ask him. I said, why did you play against that horse? Why didn't? And he said, I didn't want to go with the big favorite. I wanted to try to beat him. And you guys have been saying that the rail was hot, so... His tick was only $40. He went four deep, single, and the all button in the last race. So he was sitting pretty.
How nice is that feeling to be sitting to a pick six that's paying four and five figures and pressing the all button.
I mean, you're awesome. Just sitting back there and you're just waiting to see what comes your way. I think the lowest one was to my Odell horse along the road, who lost by a nose, but okay. You know, good old Lights hits for 9,000. I'll take it. But, you know, my horse was 10-1 down there along the inside.
What was the whooping to that one? That would have.
It was the lowest. It was paying only $3,000.
What and the heck?
George and I were kind of racking our brains as to why, like, a 10-1 morning line would be paying that low. Because it would have been 1-1-1-1.
So it's just numbers.
Some people out there just play the rail. $1 almost came through for $3,000, but you know, just got up there in the end and go
that,
to life.
That had to be like a $5 ticket that paid $5 pick four and just 1-1-1 or something like that.
Yeah, when we both looked at it, we thought that was the only explanation. Maybe somebody just. You know, we had the one guy down here his name was El Uno, and all he would bet was the one horse. And so I could see him maybe having that. But, yeah, it's kind of one of those nights where you just play numbers. You almost got lucky.
Ladies and gentlemen, it pays to listen to the Los Ponies podcast. Uncle Lights already hit a pick six for $7,000 and now a pick four for $9,000.
Yeah, I mean, he's rolling really good, and so hopefully we can help him again this week.
Well, how many lock sweeps episodes have we had? This year, probably two. I think we had two, counting two or three.
I would say two or three.
But in the history of the podcast, we've had.
Oh yeah,
we've had. I would say more over five.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, whenever we get to break out that jip, it's always a good feel. Whenever you get the Wedding Crashers jip out there,
you lock it up.
That's a big favorite of mine. So yeah, that's always a good feeling when we can come through for everybody.
All right, so a little bit to look forward to. We're going to look at Saturday's program at LaSalle. Sunday's program at LaSalle featuring the Kindergarten Futurity. But after the Kindergarten Futurity, after this week, we have 3 weeks onto the trials to the Ed Burke. So we go from the Kindergarten to the Ed Burke. And for the Ed Burke, you cannot be a first-time starter. You have to have a race already in your belt.
Yeah, that's kind of a, you know, even though you don't have to have a start coming into the Kindergarten, everything still ran pretty to form. We didn't have a whole lot of surprises pop up in the trials. It was pretty formful. But yeah, coming into to the Ed Burke, you're going to see a lot of horses that you've already seen that were debuting last week, possibly this week. I mean, Flores, he had a big night on Friday. Yes. He won with three of them, and we talked about his problems with first-time starters, but Odell had the Invader for, I believe it was Sean Hubbard. Was it Determined One came in, and that horse looked like an absolute monster. So look back for him in the Ed Burke.
Was that one with Odell or with the Flores? Friday was with
both. They're I believe they're half siblings.
That is true.
And they're owned by the same connections. Sent one to Odell.
I think they're out of Royal Lysandra.
Exactly. Yes. Yeah. And they sent one to Odell, one to Flores. Cody got both mounts. And so when I saw that Cody was also on the Flores one, I thought, okay, this one must be live too. And that one was the worst of the two. That horse was a little green, but still got the job done.
Yeah, so I'm looking forward to the Ed Burke, especially, you know, the Kindergarten Futurity final and then the Ed Burke trial. So I think now when you get a little bit more seasoning, we're going to see some prices on trials night for the Ed Burke. I think we're going to see some very, very good performances. But let's get down to business. Sunday night, Los Alamitos. We've got a 9 race card. Did you get confused when you reached the 8th race and you were like, there's still more to go?
Dude, when I got past the 7th and I thought, okay, now it's on to the big one, right? Now it's on to the Kindergarten. I get to the 8th race. I had to break out a bottle of Gatorade just to make it through the last two races. But yeah, I was a little surprised, but we got the job done.
Interesting event here. All right, race number one, Sunday night on the quarters, Los Alamitos here. We're going 4.5 furlongs. These are for the thoroughbreds, maiden claiming for a tag of $5,000. A field of 7 set to post. Who'd you pick?
You know, it's kind of a toss-up between the 2 and the 4 for me, but I ultimately went to the 2. Captain N. Barron here for Craig Lewis. Coming in from Santa Anita, takes a big drop from 25,000 down to 5. Was going longer the past couple starts, went 6 to 7 to a mile, which I think cutting back in distance, I thought this horse was better, shorter. So taking the big class drop, and Vinny's been absolutely on fire in turn races. It seems like you know, he's been pretty selective. He's been hitting at 25%. So I'm going to try and go to the 2 here.
So right off the bat, we agree. You know, this horse, you know, it is a 0 for 20 maiden.
Yes.
But I feel like it's been that year, right? In 2019, we've seen like this 0 for 12 maidens, a 0 for like 21 maiden, I think.
I want to say in the past 2-3 weeks, there's been a couple of them like that. Yeah. So maybe it's just hitting at the right time.
Are we in agreement with the second place, the four?
I'm going to the four, Midnight Roamer. That was the only one I had. I looked at the last race, and I really liked it, but the horse has been off since February and takes that big drop down to 5,000 off. I thought you would just run this horse back at Santa Anita based off that last effort, so there might be some question marks with them.
That was one of the things that I worried. I was like, it was only second start. It was an okay third.
Yeah.
You know, I thought this one could have given another race over there, but lands in here. Just an interesting horse. Just looking at the schedule, right? When we think that one could have raced one more time. But exactly. Nonetheless, this one ends up here. And then do we agree on the third place horse, the six?
Yes. Yes. Right. Well, you know, I liked that horse last time
out.
Yes. And we kind of talked about what the two outs ago when the horse went from a maiden into just, you know, winners for five, a non-winners of two lifetime. Just couldn't get to your horse, Tarzanita. You beat me last time.
That's right. I told you tonight was the night for Tarzanita.
Yeah, I had to eat my words on that one. I thought Move by Dino would beat that one. But, you know, probably will show some more early speed this time out, coming out of an 870 and puts the blinkers on.
What were you and George saying when Tarzanita was in the lead? Top of the turn.
We're like, yeah, another one gone. Another quarter horse made us eat our words. So you're rolling right now with it, but I stick to my guns on my angle.
Yeah, I pick my spots. I pick my spots here and there. But we agree right off the bat. 2-4-6?
Yes, 2-4-6.
Right. Race number two here. We're going around the hook once again. 4.5 furlongs here. Conditional claiming tag of 2,500 for fillies and mares, 3-year-olds and up, which have never won two races. We got a field of six set to pose. Who'd you pick?
I went to the favorite again. I went to Lucky Lula in the two hole. Takes the class drop from 5,000, cuts the price in half to 2,500. Got bumped at the start and tracked and couldn't really rally, but did show some speed at Turf Paradise two outs ago, albeit that was a mile on the turf. I think maybe the class drop can help this one second time at Low Sal.
We agree right off the bat. This could be an easy double.
Are we just going to have to roll doubles and roll pick threes and pick fours all night long?
But I'm a little bit worried that we're both picking post number two back to back.
Well, this is around the hook.
Yeah,
so it's not the Bermuda Triangle. I believe like post one, two, and three are really good. Oh. I don't have the numbers, but you know, deservingly so. I mean, it's always a race to the turn, and you know, the saving ground's going to help every time at Low Sal.
I do agree with the two here. But for second, I like the one, Merrier Fashion, for Angie Aquino. Coming out of a fifth place finish, but that was the first start for this barn. Was only beaten 3 lengths in that field of five. This one draws a rail once again. Should be able to save all the ground, and I think this one can make a little bit of a late threat. So 2-1 and then 3 for me, American Heart. That's the one that if nobody breaks all that well, she can try to steal it. So I'm a little bit scared of I respect her speed. There's not a lot of speed in this field. So if she breaks well, she's going to be in the mix of things. She comes out of a second place finish there last time out. So I'll keep it simple for me. 2-1-3 there, the three inside horses.
I'm throwing the three out.
All right.
I'm going to go to the four at the margin for second here. This is just kind of a hunch play here. They're taking the blinkers off, and they're putting Goosey up, who doesn't ride for Nunez that much. And, you know, I think this one's just going to go to the lead. I think that's what their game plan is here. Is, you know, hasn't shown that much in the past, you know, going to the front end, but I think we'll try and challenge American Heart early, and you got Goosey aboard there, the right jock to do it, and then to the one, Marriott Fashion, who you talked about, is going to be second time for Angie and puts the blinkers on down along the inside.
Very simple. Back-to-back deuces to begin the card. Race number three, we're going around the hook once again in this spot, but yes, ladies and gentlemen, lock of the night coming back here in race number three. You know who it is. I've picked this horse before as a lock. You have to search a little bit, but it is going to be the two, Saddle Club, here for Jesus Nunez and Efra Hernandez. There just isn't a lot of speed in this field. Last time out, Saddle Club broke a little bit off balance, had to be used up to get into the pace. Dueled four wide versus Slightly, who was just inside of her throughout in that spot. And then around the turn, Saddle Club lost ground, got bumped kind of sideways there at the top of the stretch. I think that's what hurt her, and she ended up finishing third behind slightly in that common event. But tonight, the switch in post positions to post number two, if Saddleclock can get a clean start, I think that speed, she'll be able to clear there and take control of the race early on. Saddle Club, my lock of the night.
Well, we agree 3 for 3.
Wow.
And then the two hole 3 for 3. I agree with everything you just said. You know, had the worst of it. Had to go wide around there. Got bumped by slightly in the stretch and kept on, you know, willingly there late. So I think just being drawn to the inside. And we know that Saddle Club can also be a rocket out of the gate sometimes. So if this mare can just regain some of that speed, looks pretty tough again. And then I'm going to go to the 5. Love Is All You Need, stepping up in class. Has won the last two starts impressively, but that was at 2,500 and 3,200. And shows some confidence and raises it all the way up to 5. So let's see how this one can contend against tougher foes here. And then I'm going to go to the 4. I Need a Manny and a Petty. Was off a bit slow last time. Finished well. And that was in an 870. Stretches back out to 4.5 here. Lacked room and steadied on the turn. Again, slightly. I thought was making a big move around the turn there and just couldn't find any room to go. I think should have beat slightly that day, so I'm gonna go 2-5-4.
Ooh, 2-5-4 for you. I'll go 3-7-4. The 7 here is gonna be slightly, who just won that event last time out. She's gonna be right there trying to press, I think, and you know, she doesn't really quit down the lane. I think she's gonna maintain that position to hold on for second, and then for third, the 4 I Need in the Manny and a Petty, who's taken another slight drop in class. And switching from 870 back to 4.5. She did win impressively all the way back in January, going at this distance against slightly lower level 2,500 claimers. So the form is pretty good for this kind of level. So 2-7-4, excuse me, my lock of the night being Saddle Club.
Yeah, 2-5-4 for me.
All right, race number 4, the payoff leg of the early pick 4. We're going down the straightaway now. Quarter horses, 300 yards, maiden claimers for a tag of $5,000. Compact field of 6. Is tonight the night for Ledecky?
God, I mean, he's already beaten, the other 4 rivals in here? The 3, 4, 5, and 6 all coming out of the same last race. I picked Ledecky last time, dropped the nose photo. I lugged in, had a little bit of trouble there, but just couldn't get by Pax Rothstar. But I'm going to go with the 2 Ledecky again.
Do you notice we just agreed on 4 check marks and they're all number 2?
Easy as can be.
This is pretty ridiculous. This has never happened before.
Especially with the 2 hole.
Have we ever agreed 4 check marks to begin a card?
I don't think so.
I don't know.
We usually
do the
3
1
out of 4.
We usually do the 1 2 3 and then and then pick.
Yeah.
And this time we didn't do it and we agreed. 4 consecutive but deuces.
Are you super confident in Ledecky, though? I am not.
That's another question. I think, do we agree that the 4 is the main threat or no? What do you like?
I have the 4 and 3rd.
All right.
I just went to the 1 through the lady just because we've seen what all these other horses have to offer. Look, the works aren't great, but I think it's a decently well-bred horse. You know, it's a separatist out of Walk Through Fire Mare. Homebred, you know, they just put it in right there for $5,000. Yep. The rail's been good, so I went to her for a second.
We just have it flip-flop back and forth. I went 2-4-1. You went 2-1-4.
Yep.
Winning for success comes out of the same race there as Ledecky. Broke in and lugged in from the rail. Not something you always want to see. Now gets off the rail. And I think that might help him a little bit. So Ledecky, it looks like her race to lose. She's been knocking at the door, so it looks pretty simple. I'll go 2-4-1 here in race 4.
Yeah, 2-1-4 for me.
Wow. All right. Race number 5. The start of, actually not the late pick 4. We could start the late double. I mean the mid-card double here. Race number 5. We got the 2-year-olds here going 300 yards. Maiden claimers. Is this the first maiden claiming event we've seen all year? This
I might think be, so, right? Yeah. It's a 20,000?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so.
This might be the first one for the 2-year-olds this year. Field of 6, who'd you pick?
I'm going to go to the 2. Old school icon, 5
this
twos.
Is ridiculous. This is ridiculous, ladies and gentlemen. We agree again. This.
Well, I you mean, what? We didn't share our picks beforehand, but we said it's not going to be a very creative podcast
We never share the picks before the podcast. We don't really talk because we want to go with the flow. and see where we land, and we want to actually just pick our brains as we go. But I didn't even make this connection. When I handicapped the card, in my mind, I wasn't thinking, that's four twos or that's five twos I picked in a row.
I didn't even think about it until now, too.
Yeah, me neither. So, old school icon, Matt Fails, a second and third. The form looks good.
Yeah, one of his two runners in here, definitely better than the three they met up last time in that fraternity. There wasn't any excuse for the three, so I know Gasca's getting on the best one here. Just kind of a gangly runner. That's the only thing I can say about this one, but I think has run two pretty strong races and a deserving favorite here in the fifth.
I agree. Martha Wells, homebred here, out of the Walk to Fire mare, Cozy Fire. I'm actually going with the Matt Fells Exacta. El Inferno for second. It finished third on debut in that trial back in April 6th. That was only a field of six, but still finished third there and stopped the clock in 16:26. The only question I have is, well, not a question. It's just I didn't do enough research. I just, David Reyes Frisbee. I didn't look him up. Mm-hmm. Do you have any stats on him?
He, so far in 2019, 20 mounts, 3 wins, 15%.
All right. So, because I have the nine lines and I have the early nine lines.
Yeah.
And they don't have the stats. I know you have the DRF ones, and those show a little bit about the current year. So, 2-3, and then I'll go to the 5, Chica Chica Go. This 2-year-old filly by Separatist out of Chiquitita. I thought she could run a little bit based on that 12:50 April 4th workout, but kind of got bumped at the start there on debut. Ran evenly for fifth. Was bet to 5-2 in that effort. Jaime Gomez is just, it's been such a frustrating season.
Yep.
He's got 14 thirds as of this printing, but I think he picked up another one on Friday. The barn is just due to get rolling. They're hitting the board, but they're just getting lucky with the photos there. So 2-3-5 for me here in race 5.
Yeah, I like the 5 Chicka Chicka Go for second. That's kind of what I saw here. Maybe they don't think this filly is super talented, so they just put her in a 20 claimer right away. You know, I point back to the April 4th 12-5 drill that you're talking about. Broke quickly and won easily in a three-team set. Mm-hmm. Came out in the debut race against Scoop, There It Is, and just kind of ran an even race after getting broken and bumped at the start. So I think second time has every right to improve. And then I'm going to go to the 1, She's a Foose. Just got knocked into the rival at the start. And that was against Cartel Just Rockin', who qualified for the kindergarten. Hopefully just being down along the inside. And right drawn to the main rival, Old School Icon, who I don't think is the quickest horse, but I think being drawn alongside the main rival like that will help from the inside.
All right, so a couple of notes here. You know, they are going for a $20,000 clag. I'll let you know the 4 was purchased for $27,000 at the Los Alamos Ecoin sale. So they're already offering this one for $20,000, but they bought him for $27,000. Mm-hmm. The 5, they bought her for $30,000, now offering for $20,000. So if you're looking for those people that might be looking for a bargain, you know, based on what they paid for itself versus what you can get them right now, those are a little bit of notes there on 4 and the 5.
But yeah, Chicka Chicka goes half to Chiquitita's favorite.
Exactly. Though, you
know, second one of the choice favorites, in the kindergarten.
Yeah, so Chicka Chicka Go there is going to be my third choice. I'll go 2-3-5.
2-5-1.
All right, race number 6, the start of the late pick 4 here on Sunday night. Field of 7, would you pick?
I went to the 2. No, I'm just kidding. I'm going to the 6, Carolina Corona here for Jaime Gomez. I was really disappointed in the kindergarten fraternity trial there against Diamond Rock. I thought would fire a better effort. I really liked the April 13th drill, and I thought was one that could maybe challenge Diamond Rock, but maybe not outfinish him in the end. Just didn't have it that night. So comes back in here against a much easier field. Hopefully can just run back to that April 13th drill, and she'll get the job done.
Stop the presses, ladies and gentlemen. We agree.
6-6?
6-6. This is ridiculous. This is ridiculous, ladies and gentlemen. Carolina Corona there. Showed ability in that drill. Didn't really fire there, but still completed the superfecta there for 4th. We've seen already throughout the first, you know, the first, actually this weekend, Friday, here at Los Alamitos, and even last weekend, even the horses that just had a race under the belt, whether they were 6th, 5th, 4th, as long as they had a race under them, they come back to run a lot better.
Yes.
Even if the debuters in that specific race had a fast workout coming into the race, that racing experience just proves to be so key for horses moving up. And when you factor in this horse's workout of 12:30 and the racing experience now, and given that this one ran okay fourth, I think she looks like the horse to beat. For second, I'll go to the four. She's Divine for Paul Jones and Jesus Ayala, a 2-year-old filly by Big Daddy Cartel, Utah bred out of GM Silver Dreams, a homebred for Stephen McIntyre. Marion Jones ends up here as a partner on the ownership line. I like the improvement from 1260 to 1220. I like the energy that this one displayed in that workout. So 6-4, and then the 7, what's rocking here for Chris Odell, Christopher Odell, and the Parsons Ranch. 1250, that let us draw on April 25th. Eduardo Nicasio, to draw the outside post. I think this one could run some. So 6-4 and 7 for me here in race 6.
Yeah, I'm going 6. And then I'm going to go to the other Paul Jones runner, the 3 Accelerado here. I just thought was a lot bigger than the 4 She's Divine, and they worked against each other there on April 20th. And the 3 outworked the 4 there by a length, and then came back on May 4th, broke in and quickly gained the lead and won by half a length again. So I just like the size more than the 4, but I'm going to go to the 4 for third. She's Divine, based off that improvement, like you said, from April 20th to May 4th. I mean, just sizzled in that one, was away quickly, kind of ducked in, and Ayala just kept this filly together and won by about 4 lengths. So she looked like she can really run, but I don't know. I'm just drawn to the 3. If Ayala was on the 3, it would give me a lot more confidence.
Yeah.
But I just got to go with my eye, so I'm going to go 6-3-4.
All right, 6-4-7 for me here in race 6. It's kind of fun that we're already seeing babies by Apolitical Blood winning on the track. Kind of tells you that we're getting old, Curtis. We're getting old.
I know, when you always recognize the mares and you recognize the sires.
It feels like you're just betting them here.
It's at least you could get a little more familiar with it. It's like I can remember, old gamblers were always saying, like, oh, that filly was really quick. Yeah. Oh, she was big. Yeah. And you're just like, how do you remember that stuff? And now you're like, oh, yeah, I remember that horse.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Remember Apolitical Blood in the All-American? Was it the Rodoso? Ran a bang-up second or third. I mean, once Apolitical Jess has started having babies, and they started running and winning all these races, that's when he started to feel, now we're into that era where, like, now we're remembering the sires and the mares and all that.
I mean, it's just like already his son is producing.
Exactly. It's ridiculous.
I mean, he just gets out on the scene, and now Apolitical Blood is throwing out runners. So, I mean, it goes quickly.
And to think it all started, all that bloodline started from that claim of apolitical time.
Probably the best claim ever in quarter horse racing history.
The most influential claim by far, given how that claim led to a world champion, Apolitical Jess, and then all those lines. It's ridiculous.
I mean, Rancho El Cabresto, Juan Alberto, Torado Lizarraga, one of the greatest names in all of quarter horse racing.
And I remember, was it for 8,000 or 16,000?
I want to say it was for 16,000.
I want to say it's 16.
Yeah. And it was off Felix,
And I think I told this story before, but I inadvertently met the original owner that entered.
Oh, yes.
I met him. He went up to Racing Rewards. I was helping with the handicapping contest here during the daytime. He went up there and he introduced himself. And then he, for one thing to another, led to that story. And I mean,
it's old Bill Tran.
That's tough. That's tough. That's a tough piece of history to be attached like that. All right, race number 7, the final pick 3 of the night. We got a field of 8 maidens. These are straight maidens, no claiming tag attached. Field of 8. All right, on 3. On 3, we'll say our pick, right?
Okay.
We 6 straight check marks are in agreement. All right. 1, 2, 5.
2.
All right, we're off to here.
I went to the 2. Right. Not shocking. 2s are wild tonight.
Yes.
I'm going to Sasma Blum. Going to try and get a little bit of a price here. I thought this horse broke really good in the May 7th drill. Came in a little at the start. And I believe it was Roman who was aboard there. He got after him a little with the whip. And this horse seemed to settle down. He was still a little bit green by 1 by half a length. So I was really impressed with the improvement from the 25th. To the 7th there. The horse is really well bred. Apolitical Jess out of Sasmi Blue. You know, has all the bloodlines there. The 5 had some trouble in the start. Was off a bit slow. So I'm hoping that the 2 can just get out there and be ready to roll first time.
So after 6 straight checkmark agreements, we slightly go a little bit off the rails.
Okay.
The two is my second choice.
Okay.
Lucky Seven Ranch. The breeding's well. I like the stride in 1240. Mike Castleman is not known to really work them all that fast. Mm-hmm. And when they show a little bit of ability, you got to take notice. But I went with the experienced runner, the five, close to it here. Jimmy Glenn comes out of that race where Butterlicious was a very easy debut winner in 15-6-1. This one would finish fourth. Kind of was off slow from post seven in that field of nine. And then showed some run there in the second half of the race. So I thought it was a good educational debut. Had worked 12-20 prior to that debut. So I'm thinking that this one could improve with that racing under his belt. And so I'll go 5-2. And then the one here, Made Over for Jose Flores and the Junior Quarter Horse Incorporated. Worked 1260 and then 1240 there. I'm a little bit worried about the rail. But based on the stride, based on the breeding, they paid $112,000 for this one.
Did they?
At the Los Alamitos Equine Sale. So I'm thinking that this one could live up to some of that breeding. So 5-2-1 for me here in race number 7.
Yeah, just a little bit different order. I like the 2, and I like the 5 for second, and I like the 1. I like the size of that horse. Didn't really accelerate as fast as I would, so I'm hoping just the stamina can carry it here. And yeah, I'm going to go 2-5-1 there. A little note for everybody, the 7, Monarch 59, last time was scratched on May 5th. Mm-hmm. So he's entered a few weeks ago. That's not going to show up in the PPs. That's why I didn't go with him there. So just a little side note, and yeah, sticking with 2-5-1.
So where we don't agree, we're just a little bit backwards. I won 5-2-1.
One thing, we both chuck out the 3, Art's Obsession.
Yes,
there.
Yes, and you know, this trio gelding by Volcom, out of LR Miss Atina, 1260, 1240, Terry Knight, Jesus Ayala. I wanted to see more pop in that workout, but
I agree.
We're kind of taking our stand a little bit against that one.
Yeah, the last time when he worked a horse solo, like he did on May 7th, the horse worked okay. Yeah. But yeah, I think we agree, just didn't really show the acceleration we wanted to. And I don't think the horse ever really got settled. But last time he worked a horse solo, he didn't do that well in the debut there. So that's why I went against the 3.
And who was the other barn that worked a solo one that kind of didn't fire? Was it Mike Robbins?
I think so. It was... I want to say it was Mike Robbins.
I want to say, too.
And the horse looked great.
Yeah.
And then it just came out and just didn't fire.
Oh, got off to a big, great start and then kind of just waiting on horses, not really accelerating.
And so that's why when they work them solo like that, I'm not a big fan of it. I like to see them in company so you could really see if a horse is gaining or pulling away.
Race number 8. We've got 2 races left. You know what time it is.
The Late Daily Double.
Late Daily Double time here for the last 2 races. Yeah, race 8. The Late Daily Double.
Yeah, but putting in overtime.
Not only is it the Late Daily Double, I've got my notes here and it says Curtis Locke.
That's
Curtis
right.
Locke in race number 8. Let me guess. You have to go with this horse. I know you did it.
Who?
This is your lock.
Who is it?
It is the one. Pull the trigger. It's 1,000%. It's got to be. Pull the trigger.
I'm jumping off the trail.
No,
he's let me down too many times before.
No, you cannot do
I
this.
I thought this horse was going to be an absolute monster. Oh, almost man. Beat Wicked Affair right. That night and broke my heart. Lost me to Consensus. Another heartbreaking Consensus story.
Do you remember that night? It's so vivid in my memory.
Oh, gosh. So I would have hit the Exacta. Possibly, I don't know, maybe even the Trifecta. It would have paid huge. But
I mean, the Pick 4 was live, I think, as well.
Oh, God. I mean, it's still a bad taste in my mouth.
That was like, if I remember correctly, that was like a $1,400 swing for you.
I had that. You know, what was Wicked Affair in that race? Probably 2-5.
Yeah, something like that. Something ridiculous.
And of course, Professor gloats that he got the 2-5 to beat me. But I mean, I would
when thought, he broke like that and he was in front midway.
Oh,
I was like, he's gone.
I was already going down the window to cash. I was already pressing withdraw on the account. That was ridiculous. Just heartbreaking.
So this is a little bit of a grudge Who's your lock?
I'm going to the other All Red. I'm going to the four, accommodating. A little quicker, quick breaker.
Yes.
I like the drill here on April 30th. Stumbled out of the gate, but I still thought this horse went really nicely. Went 18-2 there on April 30th. Oscar Andrade gets aboard. They're hitting a 20%. Yes. They won a race on Friday night, albeit it was a 100-yard dash, but I think Oscar gets aboard this horse while Vinny jumps to the one, pull the trigger. But hopefully, accommodating can shorten up from 400 down to a little better distance here of 330 and just get the jump on the rest and hold on.
Look at you going against your previous lock. I'm loyal. I'm sticking with the pull the trigger. That is my pick from the rail. Second start of the year comes out of those trials there. Excuse me, on the 19th of January. We had high hopes for this one. Last year,
yep.
Kind of showed a little bit of brilliance, came back flat. Tonight, we'll see what he's got here, cutting back in distance and second time off the layoff. I'll go to the four for second. Oscar Andrade has been riding well, and you know he's been teaming up well with Scott Willoughby as well. So he gets him out of the gate well. I do agree the accommodating looks like a top contender in this field. Has good gate speed as well. I think that could be beneficial here, cutting back to 330 yards. For third, I'll go to the two, Maya Signature, another one that has been knocking on the door. Last time I finished third by a neck, it was a compact field there at the finish, but I thought this one finished well in 1567. Competitive effort. If this one can repeat that same effort, she's in the mix for sure. So 1, 4, and 2 here in race number 8.
God, you're just picking incredible. I just got a little bit different order here. I like 4. I like the 1, pull the trigger. Can't throw him out completely, you know. Can't believe his horse has only made under $10,000. Yes. I thought he would have made $500,000 by now. But anyway, I'm going to the 1, pull the trigger for second, and the 2, Maya Signature for third.
Wow. We agree. This has been a very, very interesting podcast thus far. We've got to the featured event.
Yes.
The Robert A. Dare Kindergarten Futurity Grade 2, $361,700 is the purse. We got 10 finalists. I'll be surprised if we agree. But field of 10, very good final. Who'd you pick?
I went to the 5, Chaito Cartel.
We agree. Right? That's it, ladies and gentlemen. That's it. That's it. I mean, we can't do anything better than that. We just can't.
It really came down to the post draw.
Yes, it did.
For me here in the kindergarten. Chaito Cartel hasn't done anything wrong so far in both races, has looked powerful in both efforts, you know, beat Chiquitita's favorite by a nose and came back in the trial and sizzled in 15:44, drew away there from Corona Acquired, who I think we all kind of had high hopes for, being one of the best Jose Flores runners there.
He's bred to be a good one, too.
Yeah, I think drawing away from that one says a lot about the 5. He hasn't done anything wrong, so I'm going to go to the 5, Chaito Cartel, for Landolfo Diaz.
We agree. Chaito Cartel. I believe this is the one that was supplemented, if I remember correctly. Kind of paid late because this one won the debut by a game-fought nose, and I think they came back and made a payment to get into the trials, and then they were rewarded with a very good final clock in a 15:44. If I remember correctly, who got the official final fastest time?
It was Chaito Cartel.
It was, it right? Was like, by like point.
It was like 4:45 to 4:49 or something.
Yeah,
like
something
that.
Like that.
Yeah, but I mean, it was, again, like we pointed out, probably, you know, if you race him back same from that trial, it would have been noses apart again.
I've got two takes on this. Chaito Cartel, yes, has been broken well, has broke well and finished strong. The 10... Yes, very good effort. Second time out, Chiquitita's favorite. And then there's two ways to look at that for last time out. Lugged out, was a bit of a hold, could have finished better.
Mm-hmm.
But then you can look at it at flip side. If this one lugs out again, he can't make that mistake against a field of finalists.
Exactly.
He can make it against a maiden field where there's legitimately 2 or 3 standout horses. But against this type of field, I don't trust the 10. And I don't trust the outside posts. I will pick him for third. For second, I'll pick the 4. Bugatti.
Oh, you're going back to Bugatti.
I'm going back to the well. Back to the well here. This one got me that $19 straight exacta on trials night.
Yes.
This got me the win against George in the consensus. Right?
Yes,
off the bat.
Yes, it did.
First trial of the night. by the way, who's paying up pizza first, you or George?
I believe George is paying up. I think he said pizza was coming Sunday. Next week, I'll pay pizza.
But yeah, Lionel Bugatti, I was impressed with a good effort just off of the debut there. Mm-hmm. The workouts, 1260, 1230, and then came back and fired in a very good 1555, and still finished about a length and a quarter clear of the third place finisher. So I like the pattern here. It improved from the first drill to the second drill, and then really showed up and improved on race night. So I think the pattern here could show prove well that this one can take another step forward here with the second race, and also drawn right next to the favorite. This gives him a perfect target to run at. If he can just break with the five, I think he's going to give up a good effort. So 5-4-10 for me here in race nine.
Yeah, I'm going to go with the five on top. I'm going to go to the six, Diamond Rock, here for Jose Flores. I like kind of what you said about the four. They're drawn right next to Chaito Cartel, who's probably going to break out of there. Diamond Rock hasn't done anything wrong so far, has just flew out of the gate. I think can break faster than Cartel, just rocking. Is also a strong contender. I'm looking forward to this horse at further distances down the line. But, you know, I just love the way this horse flies out of the gate and being drawn next to another horse like that. Shouldn't encounter too much problem. And then I'm going to go to the three, Dreams Divine. This is kind of my price play, 30-1 on the morning line. This was the lock last time.
Yes.
Or 2 weeks ago, mm-hmm. in that trial. Broke through the gate. I thought I lost all chance in that race. But this horse ran a really game effort from along the inside. Put up a nose win over the eight, Spectacular Corona. Sorry, had to break your heart that night. But just got up there for a nose and went a time of 15:60. So I don't think if this horse breaks through the gate, I think he puts up, or she puts up, a lot quicker time. Was only off by 0.15 of a second there, and that's, you know, that's huge when you're breaking through the gate. Like we said about Improbable. Yes. You know, you lose a lot of that early energy there. So I thought that was a really sneaky race. I'm going to put the three for third.
There you go. That's your long shot. So I've got 5-4-10, but my long shot, Superfecta horse, is going to be the eight, Spectacular Corona.
Okay.
Who kind of looked flat there on debut, but I wanted to give this one more shot, and I made her my long shot of the night that night, where I got snapped by the three. How could the three still win after breaking through the gate? That was brutal. But Spectacular Corona, we talked about it. I want to stick around and give her one more shot that night, because just based on the breeding, she just looked like a horse that was bred to be good. And obviously the workout showed a little bit of ability. I thought the debut was too flat to believe. So I give her another shot, and she improved there in 1561. So that's going to be my Superfecta horse. I'll go 5-4-10-8. Give me your Superfecta runner.
You know, if I had to choose one, I'd probably pick the seven, Cartel, just rocking.
Okay.
You know, like we said, hasn't done anything wrong yet.
No.
But it's just one, besides the debut effort, I don't think we were blown away last time over Oh Yes I Can. That was a bit of a outsider, I think. No one really, it was a low-priced horse tonight, but nobody saw that horse as a contender. So I thought drew one of the easier trials there. So I'm going to go to the seven for my fourth choice.
That's it. That is the Robert Adair Kindergarten Futurity. I'll recap. I'll go 5-4-10-8.
I'll go 5-6-3-7.
Wow. Wait. So recap. We agree seven check marks, and the two we don't agree, we just have them flip-flopped?
It's an easy game sometimes, isn't it?
That is a first, ladies and gentlemen, for a podcast where we agree on seven top choices, six or seven, if I remember correctly, including five straight number twos.
Yes.
That's crazy.
Hopefully it continues the trend where when we do that, usually we're seeing the ball pretty good, and things usually go our way. But hopefully if that doesn't happen, some of our prices come underneath.
Next thing we know, we're going to see like a tweet tagging us from someone on Twitter that they hit a $100 straight pick four, all deuces, or something like that.
Yeah, that would be good instead of like them tagging us and being like, oh, you chalk-eating weasels, blah, blah, blah. Because that's the way I felt tonight. But I really tried. I mean, I looked, and that was kind of the way the handicapping just fell this time. And, just going to pick horses I believe in.
So are you chomping at the bit for trials night for Ed Burke? You want that belt back?
Oh, God, I got it. I have to get the belt. I don't know why I'm so snake bit now.
I should call you the Jaime Gomez of this press box. That's how it's been.
Deservingly so. My 2-year-old campaign hasn't been that good so far, but we'll get the professor.
And I just remember, that's going to be the same weekend of the Belmont Stakes, because we're 3 weeks away.
Another huge weekend.
So, I mean, this is the time of year where
I expect pretty big pools.
this is the weekend where I wish just we had like 48 hours in a day. There's just not enough hours to like look at all the races we want to look, and I want to look at Ridoso. I want to look at the Remington Park the last few weeks.
Yeah,
we got Louisiana going.
Yep.
I mean, quarter horse racing is in full swing, and then on top of that, we got the Triple Crown in full swing.
There's just everything going right. Just looking at all the PPs for all the quarter horse tracks, especially when they start firing up trials. I mean, at Delta, they had, what was it? I think
15 each day or something like
yeah,
that?
Yeah, and they had, it was both the Lassie and the Laddie Futurity trials.
Like, they had enough.
Remington Heritage Place Futurity trials. I mean, you just start going cross-eyed after looking at so many PPs.
Louisiana had enough trials for just a Lassie, for a female and a male race.
Yep.
And there were like 15 trials each day.
Yep.
I mean, there were like fields of 8 or 9 each
trial. And that's restricted. Those are just the state-bred fraternities that they have. And they're still running for Monster Purse. So, yeah. I mean, quarter horse action is in full swing. Ruidoso, you know, they're started up. And they just had a couple trials for, I believe it was like the John Deere juvenile challenge race. And pretty soon they'll be ready for Rainbow, Ruidoso, and All American. So.
Yeah, I think next week they start with the big futurity, because they started the meet a couple of weeks before when they traditionally open.
Mm-hmm.
They begin with the Rainbow, right? Rainbow and then Ruidoso and then All American.
Yeah, I think so.
Right? Or is it either Ruidoso and Rainbow?
It's either Ruidoso, Rainbow, or Rainbow, Ruidoso. All Americans last. I'm not sure. I've been looking at so many. Oh. I haven't even really had time to get it fully. I started looking at some of the training races for Ruidoso in there. There's a ton of those.
This is how crazy it's been that
homework is getting done.
We already have 2-year-olds running back 2 or 3 times here, LaSalle. I look at so many horses, so many works that now I'm catching myself to go back and rewatch the workouts because I'm like, my notes are like. Was I talking about this horse or was I wasn't?
Yep.
Now I got to go back and watch the workout again.
Because sometimes, you know, some of the horses we talked about tonight where you like them and then on debut, they just come out a little flat.
So you want to
go back to the work and see what did I see in this horse and possibly say, okay, second out, this horse can possibly run back to that
And
horse.
Of course, the horse, we're like, oh, I remember this horse. Nah. And we don't look at the workout. That horse wins at 7-1 next time out. We're like, oh, we like the workout first time out.
Yeah, it's not the easiest game in the world. That's why we're both still working.
And, yes. And that's why when you do a little bit of extra work, you usually get rewarded. So it feels nice when you come back and catch a prize. So that's the show for this week. Anything for the after show?
No, that's all I got. They worked me an extra race. I'm all tuckered out now.
We're going to get out of here on Sunday. First post is 5:50, I believe. Yeah, so last futurity scheduled for 9:34. So it's still
that's
still
fine. Okay. It'll be our weekend then.
We'll get out of here by 10 o'clock. But I want to give a special round of applause. Round of applause for new papa, Blaze Bowman.
Oh, that's right.
Welcomed a baby girl into this world. Congrats to him and his wife. They stopped by the set on Saturday, I believe, last weekend. By the set, we took pictures with the family. And I seen his wife, and I was like, you look ready to go. She's like, oh, I'm so tired.
And you have that intuition
to
now?
To me, I was like, any day, right? So then Blaze texted me, he's like, dude, you called it. The next night, we're on our way to the hospital.
Yeah.
But all reports from what I heard from mom and baby are doing good.
Yeah, I believe it was they named her Cora Rose, I believe was the name.
Nice job.
The name of the little filly they had.
There you go. So congrats to Blaze and Mr. and Mrs. Bowman. Congrats to them. I'm about 3 or 4 weeks away.
Man.
Baby number 2.
Double trouble.
Man. 3 or 4 weeks away. Everything going well thus far, so I thank the man upstairs right now. Everything, all the checkups are good.
Okay.
We're about 3 or 4 weeks away. That's when the due date, and the baby therapist is going to get a little partner. So,
have you already taught her how to change diapers already so it can give you a little relief?
Oh, yeah. Supposedly her, she knows what's going on. I don't think my 3-year-old really knows what's going on just yet. So the baby therapist is going to get a partner. And just less than a month, hopefully everything goes smoothly. If you see me storm off the set, you know why. So if you see me storm off the Los Alamitos TVG set, you know why. But congrats to Blaze. And reminder, you're not going to get sleep any for the first 3 or 4 months. Oh, so, God. Blaze, I hope you're ready.
He's wired pretty tight anyway. Yes, he's very energetic. I don't think he'll have one bit of problem with that.
So that's it. That's for the after show. So we'll talk to you guys next week.
All right. Bye, everybody.
The podcast you just heard was made using Anchor. Ever thought about making your own podcast? Anchor makes it really easy for anyone to get started. It's a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing podcasts. Best of all, it's 100% free. Sign up now at anchor.fm/new. That's anchor.fm/new to get started.